Everyone, thank you for coming. My name actually in Chinese is Liang. If you cannot pronounce that very well, you can call me Leo. It's my nickname. I'm from Fisker Semiconductor. We are basically doing some device drivers and board support packages. He has introduced. I'm from Beijing, China. Today, I'd like to talk about why open source projects need to go global. I mean really global, not just US, Europe, and Australia. We need also Asia, maybe Africa, maybe South Africa. Why local community can help this object to be done? My talk will be split into five parts. First part is why is globalization very important for open source software. The second is, what obstacles are we facing? The third, what we can do to deal with it. And the fourth, how local community help with this? And what are we doing in China? Before start, I'd like to say I'm not a native English speaker, so my English is relatively poor. Please bear with my English, thank you. If you want to ask questions, please speak slowly so I can understand. Thank you. So I'm going to start the first part, why globalization is important. I will give a brief introduction to free and open source software named as FOSS. FOSS is a free open source software, if anyone don't know. It emerged from 1970s and represented by the large projects like Unix, GNU tools and GNU applications, and Linux kernels. In the 30 years of the experience, the development model of open source software has been proven viable. Also in the 30 years, the free and open source software has rapidly grown. Now we have more than 50 open source licenses, which are approved by the open source initiative, which include famous ones like GPL, BSD license, Mozilla license, and so on. The open source projects has been growing to thousands of such projects. Then we like to know, there are so many projects. Which project is successful? How can we define a successful open source project? In my opinion, the top important factor is popularity. It means the number of users. If the user of the open source software is large, the number is large, the software is successful. Like commercial software, they usually use the profit. If the profit is good, the software is successful. And the second is participation. It's special for open source software. It stands for the number of developers. If there are many developers, there'll be more work will be done and more ideas can be implemented. These two factors actually affect each other. Because if there are more users, there will be more users become the developers if they found the current feature do not meet their requirement or do not work well, they will become developers. And if there are more developers, the software should be better in quality or in features. So we attract more users to use it. These two factors are both very important, but today I will address the participation part of the two factors. How we can recruit new developers and where to recruit these new developers. First, internet users can potentially be the free open source software users. And users can eventually, some part of the users can eventually become the developers. So the internet users are potentially the open source developers. Let's look at the internet users around the world. You can see US has 18% of the internet users around the world, and Europe has 26% of the internet users. Australia has about 1%. And the other 55% of the internet users are from regions outside of the three parts. It's a date from in 2006, and the other regions like Brazil, China, India, Russia are increasing, are growing faster than the US and Europe. So this chart will be different this year. I think the others will be much larger than this one. I'd like to see the contribution to the open source projects. We use the kernel contribution as an example because we can see where the attendees of the Linux Kernel Summit come from. You can see more than 1,500 of the Linux Kernel Summit attendees are from US. Because the Kernel Summit is it's invited according to the contribution, so the invitees number can kind of reflect the contribution. So it's the US contribute to the Linux kernel is more than 1,500, more than 50%. Yeah, sorry. The Europe is about 30%, and Australia. It's big, it's about 9%, and other regions only 8%, it's very small. And if we look at other open source projects, SourceForge hosted a lot of open source softwares. If we see the SourceForge developers, we can see the US and Europe are also the biggest contributor to the SourceForge open source projects. And Australia has about 3%, and other region only contribute to the 20% of the developers. Here is the composition. We can see the US has a lot of internet users, Europe has more, and other regions have the most internet users. And Australia's participation to the open source software is really good because it's much larger than the internet users. And for US, the kernel participation is good. And other regions, the kernel is very bad, very poor, and other open source projects are not good as well. You can see the findings. The US and Europe are the two main bases for the open source developers. And Australia has the highest participation rate according to the internet users. US and Australia are more active in the Linux kernel development, and Europe is more active in the other open source software development. You can see there are a lot of internet users in the other region, and it will become the largest potential user base for developing open source software. So we can go global to to attract more users and to attract more developers for the open source project to be successful. The second topic I will talk about obstacles. Why this happened? Because there are some obstacles for these regions. We cannot participate as easily as US and Europe and Australia. I will use China as an example to analyze some of the obstacles. And the other countries should be similar. First obstacle is the language. Because they use different official languages. English is the official language for most open source projects, but English is not official for most people in the other regions. I think the situation won't change in near future, because the world is going to be more diverse, and the tradition is more and more be valued, more and more valued. So English is not likely to be much more popular in the near future, I think. So the community should live with it, not wait this to change, and should try to deal with this. I think it's hard for some people to learn speak English, but some people from some country with not use English as native language, they feel learning English is not that hard. Maybe that's because they are in the same language family. You can see this map. All these regions are using Indo-European family languages. So they are similar to the English. When they learn to speak English, it will be easier. And for these regions, they use Indo-European languages as a second language. So they will be better. But for these gray regions, like East Asia, Middle East, and North Africa, they do not use any of the Indo-European languages. So they will find studying English is much harder than other people's. I'd like to analyze the language problem in China. Actually, in China, English is taught in every school. But for most students, reading is almost okay for the educated people. But written and spoken English is relatively poor because they don't have the environment to use them, to practice them. Yeah, so language cannot be learned without language environment they can use every day. For Chinese working outside China, if they stay in the English world for a long time, they can speak English very well. But if he stays long in China, it will be very difficult. So in China, most people cannot use English freely. The read and write in English will be much slower than using Chinese. And sometimes it's easier to cause misunderstanding. And sometimes they feel hard to express themselves clearly. So for some people, they are afraid to communicate in English. It's a problem. Another obstacle is the culture. Any other country could be different in culture. Even in different part of the same country, they could have a different culture. I will give some examples how the cultures are different in China and the open source community. Just a few, not all. The first is in communication. Their apprehension towards criticism is much different. Chinese are used to tactful remarks. they were likely to treat direct criticism as insult. Likely, not always, but it will be likely. So the direct criticism are quite common in the patri will process. It's a conflict. And the management style, the organizational behaviors. The Chinese people are used to and work more effective in the close-knit teams. And the community are likely to form loosely knit teams. So that's a difference too. For the geographic differences, geographic obstacles. So the time difference is a big problem. So from China to US or Europe, there are about 8 hours to 12 hours time difference. So in the open source project development, we often use IRC, but it's hard to use for us because we can hardly find the common time to chat online. And the email is the most effective way, but it normally costs a day for each round of the discussion. Because if someone in China asks a question or start a discussion in his working time, the receiver in the US or the Europe, they are sleeping. But when they wake up and answer the question, the questioner in China will be asleep. So it can only have one round of the effective discussion a day. It's not very effective. So there's an interesting result. Maybe Australia and China can be better cooperated because they have the similar time zone. Okay, the geographic obstacles, the face-to-face communication is generally not possible because the distance is too far. There are economical obstacles too. Because in these regions, most countries are developing countries. The people there are less educated. They do not have the good IT industry. They are not educated in the IT knowledge. So it's harder for them to become a developer. But there are some people can. And the living is harder there. They have to spend more time and energy to work for a living. If they do not have a permanent work, it will be very hard to live there. So they have less time and energy for hobbies like the open source software development. Of course, there are political differences. There are government support in some parts of the world. The government provide financial support and policy support in Europe, maybe in Australia. I'm not sure, but I think there are. And censorship in China. It's interesting that the SourceForge.net and the FreeBSD.org site were banned by Chinese government for some interesting reasons. But I don't know why. It's okay now, but they have been banned for several years. It's quite terrible. And for the Wikipedia, it's still being banned. I'll give a summary of these obstacles. First, the language and the culture and geographic problems makes communication much difficult. And this is the biggest challenge for these people from this area to participate in the open source development. Political problem can be addressed, but it's not very easy. If we negotiate with the government as an organization, maybe a Linux Foundation or other organization, maybe the problem can be better. The geographical and economical problems cannot be addressed, but we can use other ways to make it better. Next, I will talk about what we can do. Is this a new problem? I don't think so, because there are a lot of multinational companies. They are doing business very good in around the world, also includes Asia and maybe Middle East. They have local marketing guys and salespeople. They are establishing R&D centers around the world, maybe in China, in India, and many places to attract local talents. Also, they have a PR department to deal with government relationship. It will be much easier for them to do business in this area. Well, I think the way to solve this problem is to establish the aligned local communities to provide localized help, like the multinational enterprise did. Yeah, we already have some local communities, but they are mostly unaligned. They are the main community, the English community, and some localized ones, but they are not connected. They are good for the open source software users. This community, like the Linux user groups, they did not need to interact with each other. You can live well independently. But for developers, it's very hard, because developers need to interact with each other. They need to have a shared goal, so they cannot use this scheme. So aligned local developer community is they connect tightly with the main community. So they will share the same goal, they can interact more easily. So the mission of the aligned local developer community is to recruit and sustain local developers to do open source development and to align them with the same goal, with the same standard. How it works? We have the global community of developers, and we also have local developers to form the local community. We have the overlap. Some people will go directly to the global community for developing, and there are some parts of the local developers they feel hard to participate in the English communication. Maybe they will stay in the local community. And there are overlaps, it will form strong connection between the local community and the global community. They can share the same goal and coding standard and such things. They can help these local developers who have the problem to communicate with the global community. They bridge the obstacles for normal developers. Then I will talk about how local community helps. Free open source software, you have three kind of involvers in this pyramid. The largest part of the involvers are the users, and some users eventually become the developers if they feel they are interested in the developing, and if they find the features not meet their requirement, they may become developers. And some part of the developers will become the maintainers of the open source project leaders. We will discuss how a local community will help to attract users and developers. First, how to track local users. Commercial software usually do the advertisement and PR works. Also, open source software sometimes do the PR job too. But if the language is different, the culture is different, the advertisement or the PR will not be effective. So with a local community, it can provide the localized promotion, the localized advertisement, and the features. The users look very, the users need the features to meet the requirement. But there are local requirements because, for example, in China, we have the QQ. I think there are seldom people out of China know what it is. It is a local instant messenger, which is massively used in China. They need this tool very much, and they need the dictionary to translate English to Chinese and translate Chinese to English. It's very useful in the working and sometimes, and maybe they need more Chinese fonts because current distributions do not provide many Chinese fonts. So if we have these features to meet the local people's requirements, they will be much likely to use them. It needs to be easy to use. If the software has localized user interface, or they have the localized user menus and how-tos, the local users can be much more easy to use these open source softwares, and fashionable. People want to do the same thing like others. If they found there are a lot of people in the community using the open source software, they are more likely to use them. So that's a way to attract local users, and the local community can provide help on this. It's interestingly, the distributions are doing well to attract local users. Because they have local branch offices around the world, they can address these problems. The same thing can also be done by the community. I think it's not a very hard task to be done. Actually, the distributions are also making use of communities. They use the community to provide the translation, to provide the local user interface. How about developers? How to attract the developers? I will use the result from a Europe-sponsored research project, which is FLOSS project. It is a survey and study about open source software project development. The report can be found in this address. What they found is the motivation for the open source software development are this. I think the first part is career. It's more important for developing countries because they have to think more about their more about the living. So they have to get a job, or they will be very hard to live there. So the motivation of the open source development, the most important is learn and develop new skills. This is the most important according to the report from the FLOSS project. And another reason is to get better job opportunity. And there are more motivations, which is the social reasons. They want to share knowledge and skills to other people. They want to participate in a new form of cooperation, and they want to participate in the open software and the free software scheme. These are social reasons. and how local developer community can help with these motivations. It's easier to get help from the local community without any communication obstacles, especially for beginners. They do not know how to ask question in the mail list. Their English may be poor, and they are afraid to go to the English mailing list to ask. So you can get more help in the local community. For getting a better job opportunity, we are sharing the local job opportunities in our local community. So the developers in the local community can be easier to find a job suitable to their skills. And we are helping more people, more local companies to use Linux. If they can do their project in Linux very well, they will hire more people to do the Linux work. So it will help to increase the developers in the developing country. Okay, so for the social reasons, the local community can provide the better fun for the developers. They will be easier to share knowledge and skills with local developers. They are easier to participate in the collaboration. They feel much interested in the open source and free source software scheme. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it will make the developer feel much fun if there are local social activities. There are some demotivating factors for the open source and the free software development, which is too hard to get started. If they feel embarrassed in the beginning of the open source development, they will probably stop doing so. So it's very important to provide help to the beginners of the open source development. We can provide the localized introduction documents. It will help the beginners to start, and we will have local mentors. They are eagerly to help the local developers, so the beginner can get more help when they just started to do the open source development. But another demotivating factor is too hard to communicate. Well, if they think so, they can communicate with the local community. It will not be any problem at all. Let's look at the open source development process. There are some problems in it too. This is a typical open source project development procedure. The users use the open source software. They can find some bugs, they need some new features, and probably if they do not want to do themselves, they can report the bug to the mailing list, to the bugzilla. They can request the features in the mailing list. Or they can also become a developer. They can fix the bugs himself or the add feature himself. If they cannot do, other developers will find the bugs in the bugzilla. They will read the requirement in the mail list, and they can do the bug fix or the feature adding. And finally, it is the maintainer or the project lead to integrate these bug fix and features into the main project. This is a typical process of open source development. And what's the problem in that? The projects are growing larger and larger. The process are becoming more and more complex, like the Linux kernel. Each step in this process are deactivated by the obstacles. Local developers will feel demotivated in any of these steps. It will make it harder for these developers to involve. Let's see what happens in the global situation. We can regard the left side as local developers in the regions which they have the obstacles to participate. The right side of the picture is the English community. It's a known community. Normally, the users found the bugs and the feature requests, they will post them to the English community. Report bug and request features. And if the local developer want to fix bug or want to add the features, they need to get information from the English community. And after they've done the programming, they need to go back and to ask the maintainers in the English community to do the integration. So this process between the local people and the English world, all these obstacles I have mentioned will cause problems in all these processes. So these lines have been dashed lines. It will not be very effective in this process. So how to help? If we have a local community, so we can localize the process document and the policy documents, it will be much easier for the new programmer, new developers to know what the process is, how to deal with situations. And we can also provide direct help in the process of communicate. If they are discussing something between the local developer and the English community, if the local developer cannot understand the other, the English developer, the local developer who can communicate well, they can provide help. They can help to answer the question. Yeah. So the experienced developer can help to negotiate between the local developer and the English developers. And they can do the translation or the relay if really needed. Because most people, I have already mentioned, most Chinese people has learned English. They are hard to use it, but they are not totally unable to use it. So we are trying to make them do these things themselves. If they cannot do, maybe we can provide some translation and relay. So with the local community here, it will make this process much easier. Finally, I will talk about what we are doing in China. I established a local Chinese Linux kernel development community, and I will tell you about how it is. It is a chkernel.org community. It is a Chinese language and culture-oriented Linux kernel development community. This is the logo we used. It is a penguin with a Chinese word dragon on its stomach. Our general goals is to promote the contribution to the Linux and make Linux better to use in the Chinese developers. It reduced the negative effect of the language and the culture differences for Chinese kernel developers. And we also encourage the Chinese developers to help each other. and attract and sustain more kernel developers in China. And also improve overall technical skills on Linux-related development in China. The characteristic of this community is we are focusing more on development and contribution, not just study and research. It's most likely the universities, they are more focused on the study and research and do not focus on the development. We are trying to improve the communication and tighten the connection between the English community and the local community rather than being isolated. We are trying to help to address obstacles I have mentioned. So we have mail list. The mail list address is linuxkernel@zhkernel.org. It can be subscribed from this address. And we have more than 700 Chinese kernel developers and enthusiasts subscribing this mail list. We also have most of the active Chinese kernel developers subscribing, like Herbert is sitting here, and maybe and Eugene, he's also the subscriber of this mail list. And they can provide help to the new kernel developers. Okay. It's very soon. We are encouraging to use Chinese language in the development and discussing. We also support to use English. So if anyone in the English world need to get the attention of Chinese developers, you can also send email to this mailing list or CC this mailing list. Yeah, that's the mail list to help the communication and help on technical issues, process issues, and help the communication issues with English community. It can also share the local job opportunities. And we are hosting a bunch of local projects which is participated only by Chinese. It's a Linux kernel documentation localization. We have finished the policy document and process document and also committed them to the Linux source tree. And we are also starting to do the kconfig localization. It's also in planning stage. We also have the foreign project helper. We introduce and promote English projects in Chinese, and we provide technical reviews and document. There will be a local champion to help to be the mentor for new developers to participate in this foreign project and help to integrate the result back to the global community. Now we have wiki pages, this address, and we have this on this site, translated documents, information about books, and local activities, and the local projects, and foreign projects. So we are having more people contributing to the Linux kernel. We are starting with the easy tasks like cleanup and bug fix, but it's a good beginning. In the 2006.24, there are more patches from Chinese developers. It's a good thing. And many local developers are getting technical helps in this mailing list. We have still some problems. We need to revise the process according to the feedback because it's still in the experimental process, and we need to need more support and encouragement from the global community, and we also need more participation from the Chinese developer. The summary, the open source software projects really need global participation outside of the US, the Europe, and Australia. The open source community should initially do things to attract people in these regions rather than wait for them to join. So establishing a local community is a good way to solve this problem. Okay, let's finish. Sorry?
The mailing list you were talking about,
uh-huh.
How long has it been established?
It's more than half year.
Oh, just
new. New. But
has there been any growth? How many people are subscribing?
Yeah, I have said it's 700, more than 700. Any other question?
Is IP version 6 important in any way resembling a day-to-day basis in China?
I think it's important. The IPv6 is very important in the future, but now we are not doing much job on this. Herbert is an expert.
The only interest I've seen up front in Toto, which is quite often, is in particular the mobile providers in China, which is actually some sort of a dual or trial. There are three government controlled entities which control the mobile, the cellular, the mobile brand market. They are quite interested in IPv6 support because they want to for the 3G which is going to come out in China soon. They're interested in being able to address all the units, and obviously having IPv6 is going to make that a lot easier.
Okay.